Hey, good morning. It's Patricia Murphy. It's Wednesday. This is Seattle Now. Seattle recently took a step toward decriminalizing most plant-based forms of psilocybin in the hope that one day treatment for depression and PTSD could include psychedelics.
You know, they're not for everybody, maybe, but I think we need to do some more research to figure that out.
Oncology and palliative care physician Dr. Anthony Bach will explain. But first, let's get you caught up. With a vaccine for young children expected soon, Seattle is reopening its city-run immunization clinics. An FDA advisory panel recommended the Pfizer vaccine for children 5 to 11 yesterday. Full FDA approval could come in the next week or so. The city will open up a West Seattle location on Friday. Another clinic at the downtown Amazon Meeting Center opened up over the weekend. You'll also be able to schedule a shot with your pediatrician once the FDA signs off. Governor Inslee says he'll make his pick for an acting Secretary of State in the next few weeks. The current one, Kim Wyman, is headed to D.C. next month to take a job with the Biden administration. Wyman is the only Republican currently holding statewide office anywhere on the West Coast and stuck her neck out to defend mail-in voting when former President Trump tried to trash the election results. Now she'll be keeping votes secure in her new position with the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. And the Kraken made some team history last night.
Here comes Gord. Now Tanev in front. He scores!
They got their first win on home ice, beating Montreal at Climate Pledge Arena. Still taking your ideas for what to call that place, by the way. Write us. Next up, another home game against Minnesota tomorrow night. Earlier this month, Seattle became the largest of a handful of cities around the country who are making the move to decriminalize psychedelics like psilocybin for non-commercial uses. Practically speaking, this means SPD will make arresting or prosecuting anyone with small amounts of psilocybin mushrooms a low priority. The resolution is just one step towards loosening restrictions around these drugs, and it's due in part to a growing scientific inquiry into how psilocybin and other psychedelics can help people heal from depression, PTSD, and trauma when used as part of a therapeutic treatment plan.
You know, I'll be honest, I didn't really know a whole lot about these substances. I'd never personally used them. I wasn't familiar really with a lot of the applications for them. And it was a really interesting process for my own education to learn about a lot of emerging medical research indicating very significant opportunities for these substances to be used to treat really debilitating conditions, be it substance addiction or serious brain injury or depression, just all sorts of applications that are being proven in clinical studies and scientific research. And just really noting that this puts us square in the middle of a national movement on how to treat these substances. We should have a criminal law that is based in science instead of being based in unfounded prejudice towards some of these substances.
That was Councilmember Andrew Lewis, who sponsored the resolution. Part of this movement is due to the changing attitudes of policymakers who've seen the research being done around psychedelics. And some of that research is happening right here in Seattle. Dr. Anthony Bach is here to give us more perspective. He's a professor of medicine in the Division of Oncology and a palliative care physician at the University of Washington. He goes by Tony. Tony, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks a lot for having me. It's great to be here.
What do you think of that tape we just heard?
Well, I think Councilman Lewis has been listening carefully to a lot of the new research that has really shown a new role for psychedelics in treating some really serious conditions. And the research is really promising.
Can we just take a moment and talk about what psychedelics are, what psilocybin is, and what kind of drugs we're actually talking about here?
Yeah, we're talking about drugs that act on the brain that kind of mimic the little molecules called neurotransmitters that help one kind of brain cell signal the other kind of brain cell. And so it turns out when you add these psychedelic medicines into a person's, normally functioning brain, all kinds of things happen. More suggestibility, more new associations, more ability to be flexible about your thinking. You know, I think one of the big things, both for people who have depression and PTSD, is that, you know, they can be really stuck in these cycles of thinking, you know, a kind of rumination. And one of the things psychedelics can do is give you a window of time when you are not stuck in that cycle, when you can sort of see some new possibilities. And then, even after the psychedelic medicine has worn off, then you work with a therapist to figure out, how do I bring these insights back into my everyday life? That's where the real healing comes from.
You know, I'm thinking about this in the context of, this is not a recreational drug use situation. What about people who might be hesitant? Because until recently, this drug was illegal. That comes with some baggage for people.
Totally. Well, I think one of the things that I would say is, decriminalization does not mean it will be instantly available for every medical possibility everywhere. What decriminalization means is that the Seattle police won't be after you, right, for having a small quantity of psychedelic medicines. What decriminalization doesn't do is, it doesn't create a way for people to get a high quality supply of psychedelic medicines. It doesn't necessarily give a licensed therapist or a doctor like me the ability to treat someone above ground. And so while decriminalization is a step towards making these accessible for people, it's not the whole story yet. Some other things have to happen. Like, we need some more research. We need the FDA to sign off on approving these medicines so that it's a lot easier to do research and figure out what these are really good for.
People are being therapeutically treated right now with psychedelics. How is it happening? And if I understand correctly, yourself included, you have used this therapy.
Yeah. Well, so right now, people are being treated with some psychedelic medicines in research studies like psilocybin and MDMA. And, you know, my own experience was something that I did on my own doing underground, honestly, because I was trying to figure out, is what these people are talking about and what is happening in the research, is it really real? And so I did it, you know, kind of in the long tradition of doctors who experiment on themselves to see, like, what is going on here, right? And what I found was, there's something really profound going on. I think there really is something to these medicines.
Tell me how the brain science emerged to show that psilocybin can be an effective part of a treatment plan.
Yeah, well, over the past 10 years, there has been a resurgence of research done really carefully by some very thoughtful scientists that did psilocybin in healthy volunteers. Then they did psilocybin plus psychotherapy in people with cancer, people with PTSD, people with depression. And, you know, what those studies have shown, even though they're small, is that there's some really remarkable benefits that those patients experienced. So, for example, in patients who had existential anxiety related to their cancer, you know, they couldn't get away from the thinking that I'm going to die, the cancer is eating me alive, I know it's going to come back. They had three sessions of psychotherapy, one session of psilocybin, three more sessions of psychotherapy, and they had dramatic reductions in their anxiety and depression. And, you know, we don't have another treatment that can do that right now.
We have learned a lot in the past few years, and you're actually going to be conducting a new study that uses psilocybin to help doctors and nurses struggling with PTSD. Tell me about it.
Yes. So I am about to start a new study that will use psilocybin in conjunction with psychotherapy to treat doctors and nurses who have symptoms of depression and burnout and PTSD from their work in the COVID pandemic. And it's going to be the first study of its kind in the U.S. and the first psychedelic study at UW.
Who else might psilocybin be effective for?
Well, I think there are going to be a lot more studies coming in, people with depression, people with depression who have already been on a treatment, people with cancer who are worried about what's going to happen to them. And then I think there's going to be a whole other range of things that happen for people with other serious illnesses that are life-threatening, that cause a lot of distress. I'm hoping there will be studies about grief, you know, all these people who have lost relatives and friends from COVID and couldn't be with them. There's a lot of grief around that I'm hoping that can be studied. And I think there will be a lot more research around PTSD and all these different kinds of trauma that people have been experiencing over the past couple of years.
Tony, Seattle is not the first city to take this step. And last election, the state of Oregon voted to do something similar. What has been learned from these other cities and Oregon, and where are we headed with this treatment?
Right. Well, so Oakland was the first city to decriminalize psychedelics. And what they tried to do was decriminalize all kinds of plant medicines with the kind of logic that, you know, indigenous people and cultures have been using these medicines for centuries. It's kind of weird for these medicines to be now declared illegal for what, in retrospect, were clearly political purposes. And so that scene is developing in a way that is going to make psychedelic plant medicines more available in what I would call a community setting. Oregon is saying, we're going to make psilocybin legal. We're going to create a pathway for a high-quality product to be available to people. We're going to require that there be trained guides who work with people who get psilocybin. And so what I think is that is a really interesting social experiment to see if you set these conditions up that try to maximize the chance that someone will have a beneficial experience, you know, how will that work out?
I'm glad you brought up the fact that this is old medicine in some ways, that the drug war was really responsible for taking these plant-based treatments off the table. That being said, what would you say to people who say this is a bad idea?
You know, I would say that I recognize that our culture is really in a struggle about how to deal with drugs and how to deal with substance use disorders and how to deal with the mental health consequences of all that. You know, there's this British scientist that did this study that showed that the harm caused to self and the harm caused to others by alcohol is like more than 10 times the harm to self and the harm to others caused by magic mushrooms, right? So if you look at just the research that's out there, it's very clear that like alcohol and smoking are an order of magnitude more dangerous than magic mushrooms. And so, you know, we should look at that in a rational policy way and go, well, gee, we should really put our resources where the danger is. And then we should look at these medicines in a medical way for the potential that they really have.
And you could say that untreated mental illness is also more dangerous than all of those things put together, Dr. Bach.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Dr. Anthony Bach is a professor of medicine in the Division of Oncology and a palliative care physician at the University of Washington. Thanks so much for your insight. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Thanks for listening today. And hey, last chance to support KUOW during its fall membership drive. Yep, it's the final day. You count on us each day to bring you news and information. We're counting on you to pitch in to make it possible. If you've already donated, thanks. If you haven't and you can, make any gift that works for you at kuow.org/donate. Diana Opong produced today's show. Our production team is Jenny Cecil Moore, Caroline Chamberlain Gomez, Jason Picano, and Claire McGrain. Matt Jorgensen does our theme music. I'm Patricia Murphy.